The handout you have is for the headship of Christ. We're going to go through as much of this as possible in the time we have and trust that in your own time that you will find the message that God has for you, and this can be of some help to you in that regard. What I did is take basically the seven passages, the eight passages actually, that had to do with the headship of Christ. And I had a very difficult time of trying to get all of this in my heart and mind and get it ready to be able to tell you something about it from what I know. We have on each one of these sections the verse in the Greek, according to the best texts, and then we have the translation, or the actually not a real translation, but a just bringing the word down, an interlinear, and it's the basic word brought right down. It's not trying to use a good syntax or anything of that nature in the English. And this is for the workman. He can bring his own syntax to the words. And then just a few simple, very, very rudimentary scriptural notes. And we'll just start right at the beginning here. The headship of Christ. In God's sovereign will, He chose to bring all things under the headship of Christ in the fullness of times. In the fullness of times. And that's what I want to emphasize on this first sheet here. The fullness of times. God made time for people. Think about that. There are a certain amount of ages or a certain amount of periods of time. Ages is a term that God uses mostly in the scriptures. Ion, ionos. It's grossly mistranslated through the scriptures. Many of the words we read as ever, eternal, so on, are not. They are ages. Ages of the ages, unto the ages, and someone says, well, that's what it means. Well, that's interpretation. I'm going to try and not to interpret too much and just try to bring you what God says. And you're free to interpret as you wish. But hopefully you'll interpret as you believe that God has showed you in His Word, not so much as you wish. That's what I've tried to do. So in Ephesians 1:10, we have the basic statement that in the administration or stewardship or dispensation of the fullness of times, that the headship of Christ would prevail. All things would be gathered together under the headship of Christ. And I remember Harry Mars used to emphasize a lot the ta ponta, the all things. And sometimes that's there and sometimes it isn't. And it used to be when Harry said it too. He took that pretty loosely. So you have the Greek words here and you can see what's there yourself. So you won't have to have me tell you that. There is a last time period that God has. God has the last time period. So is that the end of all things? Not necessarily. There very well could be a different time at the end of the time periods we know of today. We are operating on the seasons. We're operating on the time period of Genesis 1:14. Where we have the seasons and the signs even. And we have the years and the days. And we have the 24-hour day. Now, what about Revelation 22? I don't know about that. I don't believe it's a 24-hour day. There may be some sort of other time apparatus there. I don't know about that exactly. You can read. You don't have any need of the sun because Christ lights up the place. But does that mean the sun is not there? And then you do have a mention of months. So we apparently have some operation of the moon. But whether it would not appear to be the same as it is now. So we probably don't have a 24-hour time period in Revelation 22. So, but those are things that I don't know. Maybe one of you will discover it or something of that nature, the truth there. But at any rate, in the fullness of times, I'm taking this to mean the fullness of the time that we know now. And that period, and that last one of those, will be when this is done. All things will be gathered under the headship of Christ. And that includes things upon the heavens, and that's what the Greek is, upon the heavens. You say, what does that mean? That's the same as in the heavens? I don't know if it is or not. I'm not questioning God. I'm just taking what he says. He says, upon the heavens, that's good enough for me. And we'll find out. And the things upon the earth. Those are the two categories of things that Christ will head up. And there's no question about this heading up now. This is not a figure of speech. This is the actual word of God. The heading up, or under the headship of Christ. That's right. Direct headship. Hard to imagine, isn't it? All the perceptions that we have will be open to Christ at that time. Amazing. Beautiful. And that's one verse. Going on to Ephesians 1:22. And all things he placed under the feet of him and gave him head over all things to the assembly. The word ecclesia can be translated church, kirke, if you're Scottish, assembly. Those are equal translations. They're equally accurate. The usage today would make the difference. We have people who think assemblies is right, and that's good enough for me. Church is okay. Also, if you don't think of the visible buildings, people say, there's a church. We spent the whole life trying to teach our kids. That is not a church. It's a church building. And in Korea, that was dramatically taught when the South Korean War, where the believers huddled together in groups in open fields in cold, harsh weather that you all wouldn't know anything about down here. And that was church, folks. There wasn't any sign that said church. There wasn't any building even. But that was church. That's probably church more real than 99% of what is called church, we see. So a church is not a building in any sense at all. It's a church building. That's fine. But we should say that because there's so many people that don't see that. Oh, what a beautiful church. Look at that. St. Mark's. Well, it's a beautiful church building. We don't like to say, well, that's not a church, yeah. No, okay, it's a beautiful church building, right? Okay, let's get off of that. All things to the assembly, church, whatever. Church is a generic term. It's not a sacred hocus-pocus type of term. It's a generic term. It's a called-out group. You know, you all know that have studied the scriptures in Acts that in one place it refers to a heathen council, the word church. So it's not a sacred term. It's a generic term. It's the kind of thing. It's a group. The Lions Club qualifies, probably. This group that has this building, whatever they are. What was that? The what? Community club. That's probably, in the Greek meaning of the word, that would probably qualify as a church. It's a group. Now, the church who is his body is a special group. See? And that's why God denotes them. He don't say a church, the church. He says the church who is his body. And I put the who instead of which because we're not all a bunch of witches. We're people. We're who's. See? So it's personal. It's personal to me and it should be, and I know it is to you. It's extremely personal. But it's not even as personal to you or I as it is to him. He has more care, concern, and sensitivity to our inner needs and our inner beings and our inner truth, if you will, than we can understand, that we can anticipate. We like to think, people being what they are, fleshly, carnal, they like to think, well, I've got this way of doing things. I have this little scheme of life. And if things are going this way, I make it go. And, oh, yeah, we give glory to God, but really underneath we feel like we're really doing it. Well, he'll upset your apple cart sometime along the way. Probably has already. Some of you know about that. And then say, look, no, you're not doing it. I'm doing it. I'm the head. See? That's our battle. He's the head. All things are under his feet, head over all things to the church. Well, now how can he be the head? He can be the head because he earned that right by battling the forces of evil and Hades, if you will, and becoming triumphant in life. The master of life and the defeater of death. That's why he can demand this headship. Excuse me. God raised Christ out of the dead by working his power. The word wrought is in the Old English. Great word, a powerful word. In the Old English they talked of wrotting things, of grabbing it by the hands. Strangling a chicken was wrought. Beating the clothes on the seaside or by the rocks was rot. Churning butter was rot. I can't think of all the things they did. They did everything with hard work, and that was rot. That was the bringing about of the end they desired. But Christ did his work among the minions of hell and was successful to bring it to his purpose, to his glory and our joy. Well, he raised him above every principality, our case. Authority, exousios, dynamis, lordship, kyriotitos. The word I think to use King James is dominion. And every name named. Names are important to God. I don't know whether there's a background for that song. There's a new name written down in glory. But names are important. Your identity is what He saves. There's not a body in here that He'd want to save. But your identity is saved. Not a face in here that He want to save, even though some of you are better off than others. And I'm at the bottom of the list on that. But there's not a face He wants to save. Not a broken body, not a tired body, not even a good body. He doesn't want that body. He doesn't want that face. He saves your identity. When we're in the upon heavenlies, we're not going to be seeing anybody in these bodies. We won't recognize that. It'll be your real identity. It's like you have a situation and you say, oh, I shouldn't be judged by that. That's not the real me. Or I was put at a disadvantage or something like that. None of that in the upon heavenlies. It'll be the real person. The Pete Redman, not a sheep. It'll be the real person. The Bob Gunther. I don't know you. And we have perceptions about each of you, and good, mostly always, all of it's great. But I really don't know you, but God does. And then when you're in the upon heavenlies, we will all know each other. Truly, our identities will be saved. And that because Christ was able, was able to triumph over all of these. This is this age, the coming age. Colossians 2:10. We are complete in Him. As a saved little boy, that's one of the first things I understood, the completion in Christ. I didn't need a lot of the things that other people needed because I was in Him. I understood it a little bit. I'm understanding it more all the time. And He is the head of all this principality and authority, and He's able to make us complete, who is the head of the archeis and the exousios. Now, when we get to Ephesians 5:23, look down at the second verse at the bottom of the page. My blessed wife, who does so much for me and in Him, did all this work here for me, for us. But I didn't communicate well to her. So this is a little mistake of ours, mine. Ephesians 5:23 at the bottom of the page. Because a husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the assembly, Himself. Husband is head of wife in God's family. Christ is head of assembly, church, and they're both the saviors of the body in a sense, scriptural sense. Now, we need to go to Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church. Who is prime, that's what it is in the Greek, He's prime. He's the firstborn out of the dead, that He may be in all things preeminent. He's the head, we're the body. Let's understand that very well. He's not out of our lives at any time at all. He is in our lives. He is the head of our lives. We're in that body. Now, I'm talking to the people who know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I pray that you'll find out. This is not a matter of assumption without knowledge. It's clear in the Scriptures, Colossians 1, 9, and 10, uses the word acknowledge, which is different from knowledge, contrary to some scholars who want to say it's full knowledge, but that just simply doesn't make any sense. An acknowledgement is something that comes out of the heart of you. Is it an action? I don't know. I'm not going to say that. But it comes out of the heart of you, and it says, I understand. I believe. I want to be in this. I want to be a part of this. I want to be in His body. That's acknowledgement. And I'm sure a lot of you could express it better. And in your own lives would have a way of expressing it that meant very much to you personally. That probably would be different from the person sitting next to you. But it's your acknowledgement of the headship of Jesus Christ. Your acknowledgement of what He did to earn that headship, and your acceptance of it. I want to be in this body. I want to be close to Christ the head. I want to be in resurrection power. Go over to Colossians 2:19, and this is the cardinal sin. The cardinal sin of the body member. You can't even sin this sin if you're not in the body. Kayu kraton te kafalin ex hupan ta soma diaton afon kaisun desmon epikoregumenon kai sumbibazamenon oxai. Tenoxasin to the you. That's the Greek. As Ed says, it's beautiful. And you'll see that as you go on. And it comes out to English, and not holding the head. Where do you go wrong? I don't like to be negative. But where you go wrong is when you don't hold the head. And I know this personally. I'm preaching to myself all the time, every day. Oh, I left the Lord out of that. No, you didn't, but you left it out of your remembrance of it, or your thinking of it, or your application of it. And then you went on and did some things, and you stubbed your toe, or knocked over the lamp, or something. And then you said, Why didn't I left the Lord there for a little bit. And not holding the head. You have these decisions to make. These plans to make. And you're working hard. And using all the things that you know to make the plans right. But He is the head, and He should be making the plans. And you say, who are you telling me what to do? I'm not. I don't want to. Who am I telling me what to do? Christ has to be the head. He has to be the head. How serious can this be? Well, look at our government. Look at any government. How many governments is Christ the head? The answer to government is, if you need something done, let's get a new bureau or another organization and more money. Think how the people in the millennium will have the blessings of having true, perfect government. But let's get this down to you and me. What about your life? There's nothing you do that you couldn't do better. You say, oh, I do pretty well. You might. But you'll do better when Christ is the head in your life. And this isn't figuratively speaking, folks. We're not speaking of a figure of speech here. I don't care a whit for figures of speech. I care for what God says. And this is concrete, palpable, down to earth and up in heaven. And not holding the head is your biggest sin. You won't backslide when you're holding the head. You won't even get close. Excuse me. You don't need to follow the 10 commandments or 11 commandments. Because when you're holding the head, that will be automatic. Christ will guide you, direct you. He'll divide your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Every path. I remember one time, many, many, many years ago, we made fun of a fellow who was... We were going bowling and he bowled. And, whoops, sorry about that. He bowled and he prayed for every bowling ball. We all laughed and said, Aaron, he's funny. But, you know, he wasn't so funny after all. I don't know about praying for every bowling ball, but it's not so bad. Not so bad. Well, when you hit that gutter ball, don't blame it on the Lord if you want to do it on your own. See what I mean? That's a small thing, but it's concrete. We can understand that. The life, that's a sample of life. I don't pray for every bowling ball. I don't go bowling. But if I went bowling, I'd ask God to give me a good game. Help me do it right. Be my head now. Why? Is this important? Yes, it's important because it's your life and His life and He's the head. What else? Not as important as the Bible conference. Oh, well, no, of course not. And yet, yes, it is too. It's as important as your breakfast. It's as important as how you treat your wife. It's as important as your religious duties. God forbid. Just follow the head. Not holding the head, out of whom all the body being nurtured through joints and bands and knit together with the increase of the increase of God. Go back to 4:15. But holding the truth in love may grow up into Him. That's the issue. Holding the truth. The method is in His love. May grow up into Him. Growing up into Him. And if you don't hold the head, you won't grow. If you don't hold the head, you won't grow. He is the great object of our life. Anything you can do to bring glory to Him is worthy, is walking worthily. Colossians 1:10. Walk worthily. Hold the head. Not holding the head is where you fall down. Well, I've been doing pretty well. You can do that. But you'll do better holding the head. And if you don't understand this, if you haven't acknowledged Christ's headship of your life, do it now. And put Him in control. glorify God. All I do is wash dishes. Great! You'll be rewarded for that if you do it for His glory. But look at that fellow who preached so greatly. I loved his sermon. You know. Suppose he was doing it out of the flesh. He'll get nothing out of it. God will get nothing out of it. You dishwasher for His glory gets it all. The reward. That's the difference. Follow the headship of Christ. We don't need our own heads. We got Christ. Thank you. God bless.